Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Let's get right to it today. Lots of guests, lots of things to get to on the program as we are smack dab in the middle of October today, October 15th. It is hard to believe we are just over a month away from Thanksgiving and just really over 2 months away from Christmas, which means that we are really close to the basketball season. Indiana up next. They have a secret scrimmage at Bankers Life Fieldhouse coming up here in just a few days, really, against Marquette. Then, of course, after that, it's the exhibition game. From there, the regular season schedule starts and things will be underway, moving fast and furious into the college basketball season. And then, of course, high school basketball in Kentucky today. They're getting started with official practices. The preseason two-day-a-week stuff can continue in Indiana, but about a month from now is when the high school season officially starts, at least on the boys' side as well. So lots of excitement, lots of fun, great time of year, weather starting to change, holidays just around the corner. Glad you're with us today, getting into a fun part of the year as each and every day we track not only IU basketball, but IU football, and of course, a real focus on local sports also as well each day on the Hoosier Report. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's Hoosier headlines, a look at the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll go through those in just a second. We've got a little recruiting news in the Big Ten Conference that I think is of interest, and also an injury note that's not a good deal for Minnesota, we'll tell you about, because they're a Big Ten member as well. Romeo Langford, we'll talk about the latest, what we know about him, what Brad Stevens has said about him and his injury, and we'll dig in a little bit more to the high school football sectional pairings, which we really did not get to cover much yesterday on the program. We'll do that in the Zaxby's headlines coming up here in segment number one. Later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with me, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg and I will talk IU basketball, a little Trace Jackson Davis, some Romeo Langford today as well. And we've got to continue our streak talking IU football because IU is on a roll, 4-2, headed into a big road game at Maryland that would put the Hoosiers just one game away from bowl eligibility with a nice portion of their schedule left. So we'll talk all of those topics and more, I'm sure, with Greg later in the program, presented by Coffee Crossing. Then Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, as always on Tuesdays, is with us. We'll catch up on some basketball recruiting notes. There have been some developments, some minor developments on different players and different prospects out there, and we will catch up with Mike on those in the back half of the program today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. A reminder that yesterday we announced our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. The winner was Isaac Finley of Jeffersonville, a senior for the Red Devils, who was big on Friday night as the Devils won their third game of the season. He had 3 touchdowns. Overall, a really nice night for the senior, and he's our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Nano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. You'll hear his name throughout the week on some special announcements throughout the shows and the commercial breaks, and we congratulate Isaac Finley, this week's winner, and that award obviously will continue on through the rest of football, but we'll get into the basketball season as well with the Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. We always enjoy highlighting a local student athlete who's doing some good stuff and having success on the field or on the court, and we'll continue that throughout not only the winter but the spring sports as well. Let's take a look at our Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. Romeo Langford has had the injury bug. Nothing serious other than the thumb injury, obviously, that was a hindrance to him all season long at Indiana that kept him out of summer league and a lot of off-season stuff with the Celtics as he fully recovered. But he had a groin injury, nothing serious there, but enough to delay his official start to the training camp and official minutes in preseason games a little bit longer than what when it all actually got started. And now that he was getting a few minutes in the game on Sunday, a right knee sprain. And here's what Coach Brad Stevens had to say. I'm going to read exactly from the transcript what he had to say. He said, everybody, this is a quote, everybody practiced except Romeo. Romeo sore today, as to be expected. Not playing tomorrow, which is the preseason game, the finale of Boston's preseason schedule coming up later tonight. He said, quote, I haven't gotten anything like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I haven't gotten any timeline on it. I just know not tomorrow. Langford still will make the trip to Cleveland tonight, but will not play. And also, kind of the transcript, the press conference that Brad Stevens had yesterday, talking about just, you know, kind of an update on the Celtics here in preseason time. It sounds like that a lot of the players maybe that didn't get a ton of minutes in other preseason games so far, which Romeo would fit that bill. He missed the first one, played sparingly in the second one, just a little bit in the third game on Sunday night, and then, of course, going to miss tonight. But it sounds like tonight's the night they're going to kind of open it up and just experiment with things and let some of the rookies and other guys that haven't logged a lot of minutes just get some meaningful minutes and see what they can do. So tonight would have been, it sounds like, a good opportunity for Romeo to log some minutes. Unfortunately, right knee sprain is all we know, and according to Brad Stevens, no real timeline, no real details other than they know he is not going to play. But the good news that he is going to make the trip with the team tonight as they wrap up the preseason, their NBA schedule at least, at Cleveland tonight. Couple other notes around the Big Ten Conference. I thought both of these were interesting. I didn't get a chance to get to either of them yesterday on the program. They both involve Minnesota. Richard Pitino's Gophers got some bad news earlier in the week. There's word that Eric Curry, a big man for Minnesota, tore his other ACL and will miss the entire season. And I guess he's going to have a second opinion, but he played 15 games over the last 2 years due to injuries. And the way the report is worded, it sounds like at some time or another he had previously tore his other ACL in the other leg, other knee. So that's not good for Minnesota. Big man likely out for the season. But Coach Pitino did bounce back yesterday with some good news, because remember Jamal Mashburn at Kentucky, who played for Rick Pitino? His son, Jamal Mashburn Jr., committed to Minnesota yesterday, picked the Gophers over a number of other high major programs. Sounds like a really interesting prospect. And that is the second four-star player that Minnesota has landed in this 2020 recruiting class, along with a player named Martise Mitchell. So they are ranked number 5 in the Big Ten in the recruiting class of 2020, number 27 nationally as well. So a little recruiting momentum in Minnesota, even though Coach Pitino, Richard Pitino, that is, has been through some rocky moments there, to say the least, as far as on-the-court success and being a little bit on the hot seat and saving his job with a trip to the NCAA tournament. We'll see what this season holds and, of course, the future as well. But some bad news with an injury, some good news for the future with a recruit in Jamal Mashburn Jr., who obviously a very familiar name to basketball fans here in this area, especially followers of the Kentucky Wildcats. The Indiana High School Athletic Association pairings for the postseason football came out on Sunday night from Indianapolis. We carried the pairing show live here on the Big X. And I mentioned some of the pairings yesterday. I wanted to go through them a bit more with a little more time today. First off, you've got to look at Class 5A Sectional 15. It's just a four-team sectional, which means that all four teams will have a bye on the last Friday in October before play starts on Friday, November 1st. The key is, the key game there, New Albany at 3-5 right now, will play at Jeffersonville, who is 3-5 also at the moment. Both teams have some opportunities perhaps to add another win to close out their season. We'll see how that goes this coming Friday. But that obviously is a rivalry game to start off the sectional. Probably adds a little extra oomph that it'll need to get some fans out for teams that are lackluster 500 teams this season. But great to see two rivals play right out of the gate. The second game could be interesting as well because Floyd Central, who's had a really nice season at 6-2, they did not pound Bedford North Lawrence when they played last week. Bedford just 2-6 right now, but that could be a somewhat competitive game, even though the Highlanders, I think, are clearly the favorite, not just in that opening game against Bedford, but in that four-team sectional as well. The championship game there would be Friday, November 8th. All of the sectional championship games across the state, no matter how many teams in the sectional, will be crowned on Friday, November 8th. You drop down to 4A. I tell you what, Silver Creek has had a fantastic year. They battled at Brownstown on Friday despite some injuries. Were able to hang tough before taking the loss, moving to 7-1 on the season. They could not have drawn a more difficult game or a more difficult opponent in 4A Sectional 23. The Dragons at 7-1 will play on the road at East Central, who is a perfect 8-0 on the season. And I've mentioned this before, if you want to look at a successful program in far southern Indiana in the southeastern side of the state, look no farther than East Central. They've won a state championship. Football is really big there, and they have another really good team that's ranked this season. So had Silver Creek drawn the opposite side of the bracket, and they may have a chance to beat East Central. I have no idea. It may be a competitive game. The Dragons are no question about it, having a tremendous year. But had they drawn anybody else, they likely in that sectional would have gotten a win. You've got Greenwood at 3-5, Madison, a one-win team, Jennings County, a three-win team, Martinsville, a three-win team. Mooresville's pretty good. They're 6-2. South Dearborn, not bad at 5-3. But the Dragons would be right behind East Central, unfortunately, and we'll see what happens. Maybe a classic, but they draw the best team in the sectional right out of the gate. That will take place on Friday, October 25th. Moving to 3A, Brownstown and Charlestown out of the gate. The Pirates have won a number of games in a row. They're 6-2 on the year. Brownstown, after the win over Silver Creek, a perfect 8-0 on the season. I would say that the winner of that game likely will go on and have a great chance to win that sectional. The best team in the bottom half of that bracket is Franklin County. You do have Lawrenceburg in the top half of the bracket at 7-1, which would be a challenge game. So the opening two games for Brownstown or Charlestown, whoever wins, will be interesting, will be difficult. But if they get through that, likely headed to a sectional championship. In 2A, probably the most interesting, and the two local teams drew each other. Providence at 3-5, Clarksville at 2-6. The Generals got not only one win earlier this season to snap a long-standing losing streak, they picked up a second win on Friday night on the road at Cordon, which was big for Clarksville, as there definitely is a turnaround in that program headed for much better days. I think everybody agrees on that. In 1A, Rock Creek, their second year eligible for postseason football. They're 2-6. And they are going to take on 1-7 North Central of Farmersburg in the opening round game. So Rock Creek should have an opportunity to at least get to a second week of postseason football. That's a look at the headlines presented by Zaxby's with locations in New Albany and Jeffersonville. We'll head to a commercial break when we come back. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us. We'll talk IU basketball, Trace Jackson Davis, Romeo Langford, IU football, and more. All presented by Coffee Crossing, coming your way next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star always joins in this segment. presented by Coffee Crossing, who would like to invite everyone to their newest location. They are turning their very own bakery at 140 East Main Street in New Albany into the fifth Coffee Crossing location for you to enjoy, and that fifth location opens very soon. Greg Doyle, my guest. Greg, let's start with IU football before we get to basketball on the IU side and Romeo Langford and a few other things. This Indiana football team, it used to be the season would be judged likely on a bowl game appearance or not. Now I feel like with a 4-2 record, a road game coming up at Maryland this weekend, and some other interesting games down the line, a bowl game really an expectation perhaps for this IU football team.
Got to be an expectation. Got to be. However, we need to pump the brakes a little bit. Really, out of fairness to IU, let's not expect too much too soon. I'm doing this with the Colts right now, and I can do it with IU too. You look at the schedule, you look at who they played, and you look at who those teams are. And yes, they've taken some bad teams and beaten the crap out of them, which is what you need to do. I mean, they beat the crap out of Connecticut, but then again, so did Tulane, like 49-7 or something. They beat the crap out of Rutgers, but who doesn't beat the crap out of Rutgers? They almost beat Michigan State, but Michigan State just got beat 38-0 by Wisconsin. So I think they're better. I think they're better than they were last year. I think they're going to a bowl game, but I think we need to pump the brakes if we're thinking what's the right number of wins for this team? 8, 9? Let's get to 6.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. And I think for me, again, football's not my main deal, but when I look at this team, when I watch this team, when I follow this team, when I read ahead about what's next on their schedule, you've got to beat somebody like Maryland on the road. But I look at Nebraska on the road. I look at Penn State on the road. Look at Michigan at home. Indiana, to be honest, to take that next step, even getting to 6 games and bowl eligible, is a step for this team. It's again, it should be an expectation for this team. But if Indiana could win one of those 3 opponents I named, at Nebraska, at Penn State, which obviously will be really tough, home against Michigan, that will be tough, I would say, as well. But Indiana needs a quality win over a quality opponent. Those three teams still left on the schedule represent the opportunity, I think, for IU not only to definitely stamp its bowl eligibility with 6 wins and maybe get beyond that, but more importantly, beat a really quality Big Ten program.
Exactly. It's one thing to beat a team like Maryland or Nebraska at home, which, you kind of should. Go on the road and beat them, that means a little bit more. That's the kind of thing we've not really seen much from IU. We've not really seen them do many things that aren't just kind of low-hanging fruit. You give them some low-hanging fruit, they'll pick it. They haven't really done a lot more than that in years. And I'm not saying that beating Maryland at Maryland is an enormous challenge, but it's not the lowest-hanging fruit. It's not beating UConn. It's not beating Rutgers. It's not beating Eastern Illinois. So go beat Maryland and or go beat Nebraska. Penn State's too much to ask, but on the road. But Michigan's vulnerable. Michigan's vulnerable. Beat Michigan at home perhaps, but definitely beat Purdue this year with what Purdue's going through. The pathway to 6 wins is very clear, and I think actually if I had to put an over-under on what I would think they've turned the corner, I think given what they've done and who they've played and who's left, I think 7 wins would be turning the corner.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Let's talk IU basketball. Lots of interest in Trace Jackson Davis. He's an Indiana guy. He's the top-ranked recruit in this current freshman class, and he's had a great offseason by all accounts out there. He wins this coveted gold jersey. We really don't know the makeup of how you earn it. I think it's a plus-minus stat deal in practice. Maybe there's some other things, hustle stuff in there as well. But nonetheless, intriguing to see a player that we've spent a lot of time thinking about, talking about, that could sure make an impact as a freshman if things go his way, be honored early in the season going up against upperclassmen, other returning players, other older players in this IU program, and win that gold jersey.
Yeah, Trace Jackson Davis seems to get it. He seems to get it not just in terms of being a great athlete who gets it because he just is bigger, stronger, and jumps higher than everybody else, but he seems to just get it as far as work ethic and whatever it is you have to do during the gold jersey. And I guarantee you it's a lot more than just on-the-court stuff. It's hustle and leadership and all kinds of things. He gets that. He's the guy that won the slam dunk competition the other day at Hoosier Steria, and then after winning it, asked if he could do one more dunk, and he put on Calbert Chaney's jersey. and Chaney was there as a you know, the all-time Big Ten scoring leader. Chaney was there as a judge. And he just won a dunk one time with Chaney's jersey on to pay homage to those who came before him. And one of the most amazing things I saw at the state championship game back in, I guess it was back in February, March, at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. No, it wasn't the state championship game. It was Indiana versus Kentucky All-Star game. And Trace Jackson Davis was in that game, of course. Well, George McGinnis was there. And McGinnis has had a rough year. He lost his wife and been through back surgery. And he was there off in the corner. And Trace Jackson Davis made a beeline for him. I mean, like, he wanted to pay, you know, George McGinnis is old enough to be his granddad. He wanted to pay homage to George McGinnis to his personally. And it was just beautiful to watch. So anyway, that young man gets it.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest, talking some IU basketball. Can you believe we are weeks away from the start of the college basketball season? Coming up in just a few days, Indiana has its secret scrimmage against Marquette, which I know a lot of people would probably pay a lot of money to be a fly on the wall in that game and see what the Hoosiers and some of these players that we've been talking about all offseason look like in that game against a quality opponent with some very quality players. But we are so close to the start of the basketball season, the college basketball season, that it seems like after months and months of talking about it, Greg, it's almost finally here. This is the best time, I think, in Indiana, because you've got college basketball, you've got high school basketball that will start not long after the college stuff officially gets underway, and football's in a really good place. You mentioned the Colts. We've talked IU each and every week on the program with some of the success that they've had. Those seasons are in the heart of their seasons with some potential success down the road for those teams. So what a great time to talk about all this. What a great time to write columns about all this. We're entering just a great part of the year, the sports calendar.
Oh, it sure is. There's several months out of the year, and those months are mainly April to August, where there's, and I'm, you know, you have a show, and you know what I'm talking about. It's hard to find things to talk about. It's hard to find things to write about it. You do it, but you have to kind of dig deep and make it happen. Now it's just kind of pinch yourself moments. It's just too easy. There's just too much. In fact, that's almost a problem. There's just too much. But that's a great problem to have. And yeah, this is, given that our state cares about hoops as much as most states care about football, and we still care about football. Maybe not like some in the South, but we do care about it. But we care about basketball to the next level. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. And we've got it at all three levels, high school, college, and pro.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, opening their fifth location coming soon in downtown New Albany. Let's talk a little Romeo Langford. That's another familiar topic for you and I since you started joining this program on a weekly basis. I wish that we could say, good or bad, that we had seen Romeo log some minutes for this Celtics team, and maybe we had a better idea than we did weeks ago, months ago, about where he could potentially, as a rookie, fit in with this Celtics franchise coached by Brad Stevens. But since the thumb injury, and I understand he had to have plenty of time to recover from that, probably really smart to stay out of summer league stuff in Vegas, kept him out of some other workout stuff with the Celtics. But since he's been back from that, since he's been completely cleared from all that, it's just been minor things that have kind of hindered him in this training camp time and this preseason time. A groin injury kept him out of a preseason game and delayed his start of official full contact practices, it sounds like, with the Celtics. And then last night in the fourth quarter, he was getting some minutes. Boston was ahead by a large number of points, and it would have been time for Romeo Langford maybe to get out there with no pressure and show what he can do and earn a role, earn a spot on this team. And he has a right knee sprain. And as we were talking, someone sent me the video clip of it. And when it first happens, my goodness, scary for sure as he fell down to the floor. But just a lot of little injuries have really nagged him here, Greg, in this preseason time when a lot of people hoped to see him log some minutes and to find his role on this team. It hasn't worked out that way so far.
Yeah, how about he and Rondale Moore both having really scary-looking knee issues, and in both cases it doesn't appear to be nearly as bad as it could have been. We still don't really know what's going on with Rondale Moore. We just know it's not, doesn't require surgery, so it couldn't be that bad. But yeah, Romeo has been dogged by some stuff. I do think the groin issue, and I mean, Brad Stevens didn't call me up and tell me any of this stuff, so I don't know, but the groin issue is really, really, really tiny. And more, if he hadn't missed so much time with the thumb and they're putting the shot back together again, I'm guessing that was not a big deal. But I'm guessing that they, and I've told you, they want Romeo right before they put him on the court in front of people. They want him right physically and mentally. And the groin thing just wasn't right. But again, I'm assuming that was so small that that wouldn't have kept him out of a game in, you know, in December. But this one's different, and this one's scary, but it sounds like it's okay. But I think that if you look at the totality of Romeo, you don't look at him and say, is he injury plagued? Is he whatever? He just, I mean, he's had some bad luck. But that we saw that fall. That fall was nasty. You hurt your thumb because someone probably smacked it, and you know that happened. So I don't think he's just brittle or anything. I just think he's got some bad luck.
Yeah, no question. And I've got to bring this up, talking about the Celtics, and I know you've kept a watchful eye on the Pacers as well and their preseason stuff. But a local guy, a guy that played his college basketball here, I'm really intrigued with Carson Edwards and what type of role he will find on this Boston Celtics team. A few years ago, I thought, man, he's a really good college player, but I don't see what the NBA looks like for him, a guy at his size, and I'm beginning to wonder if I'm not eating my words there already. I know it's just the preseason. I know there's still a long way to go for him to find a regular role with this Celtics team, and I know that he, you know, maybe some don't even expect him to still at this point, but he definitely has shown some things in these preseason games and even in the summer as well that make you wonder if he won't find a spot, a permanent spot on this team for years to come.
Yeah, I think there's no question that he will. He's the, at a minimum, he's the perfect second unit point guard, because you need buckets out of that second unit. You don't, your second unit point guard is not supposed to come out there necessarily and get a ton of assists, although it wouldn't hurt, but you want a guy who can score, put the ball in his hands, and he can go score. And that's what Carson Edwards does, even at this level. And he's got NBA shooting range. We saw that in the NCAA tournament. Range is not a problem for him. So he's going to, again, at a minimum, he's going to be a second-unit point guard in this league for a long, long time. But I don't want to sell him short. I mean, I don't want the guy to be averaging 25 a game in 3 years, and here I'm saying he's a backup. I have no idea what the ceiling is for him, but I'm not about to put one on him.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment presented by Coffee Crossing. Before we let you go, somebody asked me to ask you, what's the latest with Victor Oladipo? I know he was held out of the trip overseas. I think there's still some recovery time there. What do you hear as you look at the Pacers in this preseason and go to some of their stuff?
What I see from the Pacers is that what I hear is that he's doing better than you'd think, and that anybody who thinks he won't be back until January is wrong. He's going to be back sooner than that, and maybe even sooner than mid-December, although that's just me kind of extrapolating from what I'm hearing and not reporting squat. I'm not. But what I'm seeing from the Pacers is they – and I don't know if they've, you know, taken a page out of the Colts book with Andrew Luck. I don't know that they've been, you know, informed by what happened there, but they are being so cautious with what they say. They don't want anybody getting any expectations for when we're going to see Victor. Because I don't know if they saw what happened with the Colts and why isn't Luck playing this week, and it just got louder and louder and louder. They've said December could be January. We don't even know. They won't even go that far. So they're being very smart about it, and I think whatever they're saying, whatever they're even nodding their head at, you know, like maybe you say January, they're going to nod his head like, yeah, maybe. I think he's going to be back a lot sooner than anybody thinks, but I think the Pacers are playing this very, very smart.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us Tuesdays in this segment presented by Coffee Crossing, who would like to invite everyone very soon to visit their newest location. It's going to be located at 140 East Main Street, downtown New Albany. It's their bakery, and they're turning it into the fifth Coffee Crossing location here in Southern Indiana. Greg, as always, thanks for the chat. Good to catch up, and look forward to it every Tuesday.
Not for nothing, but the fifth location of Coffee Crossing, my favorite number is 5. It's what I wore in baseball in high school. And not that you asked, not that I would ever talk about something that happened 30 years ago, but I was All-State. So to say that Coffee Crossing has their fifth location is kind of brings back a lot of memories. I can tell you about the game I had against Tatnall one time, but that'll be another time.
Sounds good, Greg. Thank you, as always, for the chat. Always fun. We'll do it next week.
See you.
All right. All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Always fun to have with us on the program. Let's look ahead. Week 9 of high school football coming up on Friday night. In the first segment, our headline segment, I went through the sectional pairings and some of the key matchups that stood out for local teams. But let's not forget, we've got the final week of regular season play forthcoming on Friday night. Jeffersonville at Bedford North Lawrence. New Albany, they host Jennings County. Providence on the road again this week at Linton Stockton. Floyd Central is at Seymour. That could be a pretty good game. Silver Creek hosts Cordon. Clarksville hosts North Harrison. Can the Generals put together another victory to wrap up the regular season here in 2019? Charlestown at Eastern Pekin. They've been on a roll, have the Pirates, and they'll look to continue their success this weekend as well. And Rock Creek hosts a team that I've not heard of, Central Christian. Don't know if it's a member school of the IHSAA or what the situation is, but Rock Creek will close out the season hosting Central Christian on Friday night. Week 9 of high school football. Our coverage here on the Big X begins each Friday at 6 o'clock with the Kentuckiana High School Kickoff Show. An hour-long preview of the week. And then, of course, our play-by-play coverage as we wrap around the area with play-by-play opportunities for multiple games, as well as call-in reports and constant scoreboards. And then, of course, the scoreboard show presented by Extremnasium when all the games are final. We get the chance to talk with coaches and media and a lot more to recap each Friday night of football here on the Big X. Make sure you join us for that. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com and talk some IU basketball, a little basketball recruiting as well. Might even look ahead in a little more depth to the Maryland football game this weekend also for the Hoosiers. We'll do all of that next right here on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Final segment of this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com with us as we talk IU basketball, maybe some football a little bit later as well with Mike, who's with us each week. Mike, I've got just a handful of different things I want to hit you on and get your thoughts, your opinion on, and I kind of want to start with some stuff elsewhere in the Big Ten Conference as far as basketball goes and then work our way back to Indiana. I saw a note that you posted on the Pegs.com forum, and then there's been some published reports from Minnesota as well. A couple injuries in Big Ten basketball, at least here in this preseason, early season time, that could affect perhaps games this year against Indiana. Big man from Minnesota, big man from Ohio State, who's not going to miss the whole year, but I think a portion of the season, especially early on. So some interesting developments injury-wise that you really hate to see for any team, especially at this early part of the year.
Yeah, you know, it affected Indiana last year. That's why you need depth. That's why you look at teams that maybe have two options at the same position. You know, Michigan State being the best example in the Big Ten, I think, this year. But everybody, even Michigan State, has a guy that they just can't afford to lose. And you just hope you have depth across the board, though, at most positions. Because once you start playing full practice, the guys start to go down a little bit.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Also, at Michigan State, from a recruiting perspective, they lost a key player, Jalen Terry, who a point guard. I think he's top 50, top 60 or so in most of the national rankings. He decommitted from the program. I think that came yesterday. A little bit of a surprise there. Normally when Coach Izzo gets him in the fold, they're as good as gold as far as getting there and becoming normally success on the floor for him. Any idea on what happened there and a little of the backstory? Could Indiana maybe get involved with Jalen Terry?
You know, I'm not aware that Indiana will jump on him, though they, you know, have been looking at point guards. You know, being a border state, you know, would make some sense for him to look at Indiana. He's not a great shooting point guard. Indiana, you know, still, I think, could add some shooting to the mix. But definitely someone to consider. But you don't know. Somebody like that who's a pretty good point guard, but maybe not a great point guard, possibly could scare away Christian Lander or make him think twice about him being able to really take the reins right off the bat or have a real big role. So there are a lot of factors at play. But Indiana has looked at some point guards maybe slightly lower in the rankings that or maybe more so for depth and ball handling insurance. So right now, I'm not expecting that to happen. As far as why he came in, I mean, they have Rocket Watts, another ball handler. I really don't know much more than that. They have a lot of good players, but maybe someone convinced them he could play more somewhere else.
Interesting. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, taking a look around the Big Ten with a couple other headlines out there. I want to bring it back to IU now with this. Lots of people curious. DeAndre Davis, speaking of decommitting, he decommitted earlier this week from Nebraska, and he had been committed there for a while, at least since the new coaching staff was hired. He's an in-state player. He's in the 2020 class where Indiana is still actively recruiting and has some openings, scholarship openings for players to join the program. Some people, even from a potential perspective, rank him ahead nationally of Anthony Leal or Trey Galloway. I'm curious your thoughts on him as a player. Being an in-state guy, could Indiana get involved now that he's available and just in Indianapolis, not far from Bloomington?
I don't expect Indiana to get involved because he's a similar player to their two commitments, the guys you just mentioned, Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, in that he's kind of a wing scorer. He's not a tremendous shooter, but he's a really nice player. I think he's right in, arguably is better than those two, but they're in the same kind of level of player. And so I'm not going to, I think you can just mix them up and grab one, and that might end up being the best player when all is said and done. Because of that, like I said, in the wing situation, Indiana already kind of filled. I don't expect them to pursue him, but he is a really nice player who scored quite a lot of had big games in EYBL against some of the top players in the country. So big schools will jump on him if they need wing help.
Talking with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com for all coverage of IU football, basketball, recruiting. Make sure you check out Mike and Jeff and Matt and others at the Pegs.com website if you're not already a member. Next up for this basketball team, lots of talk about Trace Jackson Davis getting the gold jersey. Next up, though, is this team's opportunity to play a very quality opponent in Marquette in a secret scrimmage. And we've talked some about this before. It's not something that Mike will be able to get in and cover, not something that you're going to necessarily see a full box score for. It's not necessarily something where there's going to be a lot of reports on the game and a lot of details. There could be some things that get out, whether purposely or accidentally, that leak out. But this is, no question, an opportunity for Indiana to really work on some things against a very, again, very quality opponent. I've had a general question. When we talk about secret scrimmages, this is not just this year, but last year as well. What's the format of these things? Is this a regular 20-minute half game? Is this something that the coaches can agree to set up situations as they want? What do you know about that? Lots of people curious about what are these secret scrimmages exactly as far as their format.
Well, it's up to the coaches, so I can't say. They'll definitely have a 2 20-minute halves and play it like a real game. Because sometimes they don't, and they play 2 10-minute halves, and then go into more situational stuff, like playing out the last 3 minutes of a game to kind of simulate overtime. But I do expect Indiana to play some 5-on-5 over an extended period of time against Marquette. They did a year ago with Loyola Chicago. I think that's a good insight that they had won that. Fairly handily. It turned out to be a Loyola Chicago team that wasn't as good as what people thought. So it wasn't as good as an early sign for Indiana as we may have anticipated last year. But it's really good that Marquette, obviously has some talent there, and it'll be good testing ground. But I do think you in those situations you play different combinations, you mess around with your lineups, and you see if certain young guys are ready. It's not like a game that counts, but it is great—a great tool because you don't get a lot of playing Division II and III exhibition game opponents. So I think that's why most of the Big Ten, or almost all the Big Ten now, have gone to these secret scrimmages.
Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is my guest, joining us here on this Tuesday program. Mike, I'm looking at the IU schedule for the upcoming season, and after the secret scrimmage, which I believe, is it Saturday, is that correct, at Bankers Life?
I think it's Sunday.
Sunday at Bankers Life. Once that is done, the next thing is the October 29th game against Gannon University, a lower-level school. Then you get the regular season starts November 5th with Western Illinois. As I look at that schedule, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a lot of mid-major, lower-level Division I schools. I guess Princeton coming to Bloomington on November 20th, maybe one of the more notable schools that Indiana's going to play until the month of December. But the first big challenge for this Indiana team, am I right that it's December 3rd, the Big Ten ACC Challenge game, which is obviously a big deal in itself, but that's a tough opponent.
Yeah, that's the first game that's high-level talent that's going to be on the other court. I mean, there's good mid-major teams like Princeton and Louisiana Tech and so forth that if you don't come to play could pull an upset. But as far as talent that matches what Indiana's going to put on the floor, that starts really on that December 3rd game. You know, it's kind of a crazy schedule this year, Matt, as you kind of alluded to. A month full of mid-majors, and then you jump right into a whole bunch of really good teams in December. And it's really not the easy December games that we've seen in the past. It's just go ahead and go at it with, the crossroads of Wisconsin on the road and Big Ten getting started as well as that ACC stuff. So it's going to be an interesting, UConn and Madison Square Garden. So to me, the season sort of starts in December.
Yeah, no question. I guess looking at it from the perspective of Florida State being the first big challenge game, you've got a number of games, does this Indiana team, to continue what you said somewhat, probably not as much as they will in the secret scrimmage where no score is really kept or reported and there's no winner or loser necessarily in the scrimmage in the game. But Indiana will have lots of opportunities in November to tinker with the lineup and to get guys back in like Jerome Hunter that maybe have been out and to try some of the newcomers and the freshmen in different situations and mix lineups and figure things out for that December run. That I guess could be an advantage for this team taking on opponents like Western Illinois, Portland State, North Alabama, Troy, Princeton, Louisiana Tech, and South Dakota State before they take on the likes of Florida State, Wisconsin, followed by UConn, and then Nebraska.
Yeah, you know, so many benefits from that. Have Devontae Green really develop into a two-guard for the first time in his career, learn to play off the ball. Find out if Trace Jackson Davis can play alongside Joey Brunk, and if that's not too much getting in the way inside. See if Deron Davis can play with Joey, or especially if Deron Davis can play with Trace Jackson Davis, to make a good combination. Jerome Hunter needs those kind of games after all the time he has sat out. So there's so many benefits for that team. Indiana, you know, should be a much better team in December when the competition ramps up because of all those games in November, even though they should win those.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. One football question for you, Mike. This Indiana team goes to Maryland on Saturday, and, of course, it's the same Maryland team that lost to Purdue 40-14, which was a little bit of a surprise to me. What do you see in this game, and were you surprised by Maryland's result in West Lafayette last weekend?
Yeah, that was surprising. Maryland's been kind of a hard team to evaluate because they don't score in a normal way. They don't grind it out in long drives. They either get big plays or they don't get them, and when they don't get them, they get beat bad. But they have the capability, the speed, to run these huge long explosion plays, and they've had them in some games, and they're also pretty quick defensively. So it's pretty much a pick 'em type game in Maryland, and it's the first. Really, this is we talked about the basketball team season not really getting started till December. Well, this is the first game of the season, even though we're halfway through it, where one of the teams is not a double digit favorite in the game. Indiana was a huge underdog against Ohio State, a pretty big underdog at Michigan State, their two losses. In the other games, they were huge favorites. So this is when you really find out how good Indiana is, because they have, you know, several in a row now here where pretty much the rest of the season, except for their game at Penn State when they'll be a big underdog, is anybody's kind of guess on who's going to win.
I think with Nebraska, especially being at Nebraska, at Penn State, home against Michigan, then a rivalry game even against Purdue. I know they've struggled and had injuries this year, but it's a rivalry game. You just never know. I think with some of those type games forthcoming, this is a really big one for Indiana to win, even though it's on the road, to try to get not only to six, but maybe beyond.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say it's a must win, but they have only very few opportunities to get to six that are as good as what they have on Saturday. So they really put themselves behind a ball if they don't win in Maryland. They'll be off the bowl projections that they're starting to pop up on, put it that way.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pigs.com. Check he and his team out at the Pigs.com website for lots of IU coverage from recruiting to basketball, football as well. Always appreciate the chat. We'll talk with you again very soon, Mike.
All right, man. Take care.
That's going to wrap up this Tuesday edition of the program. We do this each day at 11, the Hoosier Report, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. You can also find the podcast on SoundCloud. It's a free app you can download, or you can point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And we're an Apple Podcast as well. You can search for the Hoosier Report and Apple Podcast on your phone, your iPad, your computer. Leave us a rating and a review. That'll help us connect with others that might be interested in a radio show and a podcast about IU and Southern Indiana sports. And don't forget, coming up Friday, we've got a full night back to our regular coverage of high school football starting at 6 o'clock with the kickoff show. We're going to be featuring multiple games Friday night. We'll have call-in reports from other contests as well, and I'll be in studio anchoring everything with regular scoreboard updates. We'll interview all the winning coaches at the end of the night on the Extremenasium scoreboard show. It'll be a fun night to wrap up. This is crazy to say, but it goes along with what Greg and I were talking about this time of year. Wrap up the regular season of high school football. We'll be looking at postseason football coming up after this Friday night. So in addition to everything else with basketball getting started, postseason high school football just around the corner, and of course IU football really in the heart of their season with some big, big moments ahead, some big games ahead to see if that team is going to get bowl eligible and maybe take a step beyond. I said yesterday I'm projecting 7 wins, and what do I know about IU football? Probably very little, but I like this team. I love the quarterback for the future, and I think that Indiana will get there, bowl eligible for sure, and might even tack an extra one on just for good measure and take a step forward. That's going to wrap things up for today. I'll be back with you Wednesday. On our Wednesday program, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins us to talk IU basketball and college hoops and Big Ten hoops for the upcoming season. Also on Wednesday, we have Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt, to talk local sports. We'll preview the sectional pairings. We'll talk week 9 of high school football. We've got lots of things happening. Volleyball sectionals are this week. Fall sports coming to a close. We'll cover all of that and more with Craig tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.